In 2021, Talk About It Outdoors partnered with an industry-leading brand that has stamped its name on the outdoor industry. Cruiser Saddles, in itself, stands on perfection. And with every climb we make, we elevate ourselves above the rest. In addition to a support to our hunting journey, the men and women behind Cruiser believe in the same principles of life as us. Faith, family, and the blessings of being better as they go in every sit. If your desire to pursue your passions one step ahead of the rest, go ahead and get in the best. Check them out on all the socials or head over to their website at www.cruiser.com. That's CRUZR.com. And tell them to Talk About It Outdoors boys and Chasing Weekends sent you their way. The journey of life has a unique way of being able to create tried and true friendships as we go. In forming those relationships, oftentimes, good things come to follow. Talk About It Outdoors is proudly supported by Cal Hardy, the Barrelhead Land Company. Cal is the leading broker over Georgia and is happy to assist you with finding the place where you can call home. With vast knowledge and an understanding of the ever-evolving real estate market and a unique old-school approach to everything he does, he exemplifies what it means to treat others like you'd want to be treated. Don't settle for being just another number in a phone. Choose Cal Hardy for all your land, home, and commercial real estate needs and become a part of his family. We sure are blessed to have him as a part of ours. Find him on Facebook, Instagram, or give him a call at 770-296-2163. Step back to the times when a feed store was more than just that, and the people inside smiled with friendly faces and provided a place for a talk on life, as well as all your essential farm, livestock, and pet needs. Cherokee Feed and Seed, located in Ball Ground, Georgia, with an additional location in Gainesville, are the hometown supplier of all your cattle, equine, and pet needs, with the added addition of being able to keep your deer herd healthy with protein and minerals. They also carry an assortment of hunting blinds and gear, and you can rest easy knowing the people that support local ball clubs and children's sports are who your hard-earned money is going to. The people here greet you with a handshake and a smile, and Cherokee Feed and Seed give more than just a product. They give you a welcome that'll make you return time and time again. Stop in next time you're in the area and tell them you're part of the Talk About It Outdoors family. A few years back, when an overbearing and overgrown backyard became an eyesore, I looked for a solution to resolve. LRS Land Services created a stunning and complete transformation turnkey at an affordable price with their mulching services. Not limited to mulching, LRS can provide turnkey grading and clearing, maintenance, right-of-way clearing, and even development for any and all forestry needs. With an innovative outlook on what is best for your land and a completely different approach than others, LRS can transform your overgrown eyesore into a beautiful landscape of your dreams. Give them a call at 404-889-1105 or check their work out on Facebook at LRS Land Services. Logan and his team are ready to make your land brand new again. Building the foundation of your life starts at the base, and the stronger it is, the better. Talk About It Outdoors is proud of our strong partnership with United Concrete and Paving and the foundation of support they provide. Whether your new home being built needs concrete work or that driveway you're tired of beating all the bearings from your pickup needs a paving, Michael and his team can provide any residential or commercial project support you might need from the ground up. If you're tired of tripping over that unsettled patio slab or a future shop build needs a smooth start, United Concrete and Paving can get you going when you need it most. Give them a call at 404-831-3036 and make sure you tell them them TAI boys are where you heard it first. You ready, Nick?
Let's do it.
All right, everybody, Talk About It Outdoors coming to you live from the Cruiser Saddle Studio. We got a special guest in-house tonight, a recent friend we met, longtime listener of the show. I ain't even going to try to say his name because I've screwed it up all day. Grant's here with us tonight, and he's going to spit it up. We got all kinds of fun to talk about. Season's gone, and now we got something to look forward to. Y'all pull up a chair and sit a while. But is season really gone, Nicholas?
Season is not gone. I don't know why you keep trying to get out of it.
Oh, my goodness. It has come to my attention as of recently. You might be making another trip out of state. What?
I might be.
What in the world has brought this on?
We're trying to get out of turkey season.
Hey,
it's like that dress you tried to get out of in elementary school.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thanks for being with us tonight. We got a great one lined up for you. We got a special guest in-house with us tonight. We've had a great meal. I'm just glad to be here. I'm just glad to not be working on a deck anymore. How big a deck you got?
That's a big old deck. Bet your wife's proud of that one.
She is very happy with it. She is excited. We got a new pool area. You looking out the window, you can't look at turkeys in the field or anything else anymore. Nope. Got a new AC unit in the studio?
We do. It's nice and chill in here.
You ain't even got your fan on.
I ain't got my fan on. It feels good in here. I'm going to have to push that a little bit closer to me. I don't know how Josh got so privileged over there to capture the AC.
I'm going to have to string it over here.
I was not here for that.
You might have to take his place. Well, buddy, it's good to be with you again tonight. It's been, well, a week since we last spoke, and the Oregon debacle dropped. I dropped it halfway. So if you were listening to the episode and you only got half the story, and we left you on the cliffhanger, well, I apologize. That was my fault.
So. Yeah, and I want to apologize, too, to the listeners. Alex, you're going to have to slow me down. I get to talking so fast on there. I can't stop. You're going to have to slow me down and ask me some questions in between.
I thought it was great.
I was listening, which I do listen to it on a little bit higher speed just because I listen to so many different podcasts, but I'm like, man, I need to slow down a little bit and take a breath.
I was on a live on TikTok one night, and it was with several other podcasts and stuff, and they were talking about listening speeds and everything else, and somebody said, put Alex on a speed and a half. He said, you can't understand a damn word he says. He talks so fast. So I never realized I talked that fast, but when I get excited, I guess I do. But
I get it going too, and I did listen back to it today, and it was a good episode. There's a few things that I probably missed to say in there, but it's all good.
Well, I think that the feedback so far has been, from what I heard, everybody was hung on a cliffhanger because it did stop at 42 minutes. And
yeah,
they're like, oh, my God, what happened next? Yeah. Well, I was getting messages at 6 o'clock this morning.
So okay.
Jeremy sent me a message. He's like, hey, what is going on? Chip sent me a message. He's like, hey, something's up with this. And I'm like, I know exactly what it is. Sorry, I'm fixing it now. So it was a little bit of a tumultuous evening yesterday, so I apologize to everyone. Yeah.
And just so everybody knows too, there's a new YouTube video up on how to fly with your gun if you're going on a hunting trip. So I put something together. It's not the greatest video ever, but I put something together and uploaded it over here tonight.
Got on some good internet.
Got on some good internet, yeah.
That is something that we can say. We finally got good internet. Did it get up there fine?
Yeah, that's fine.
Awesome. Yep. Well, for anyone that doesn't know, if you're looking for things to do in the near future, we're about 6 weeks out from the World Deer Expo in Alabama, Birmingham, July 20th, 21st, 22nd. We'll be there with all of our friends. It's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday show, so make sure you come over and see us. The following weekend after that, the GON Outdoor Blast will be in Emerson, Georgia again, so make sure you come over and see us for that. And then 2 weeks after will be the bow shoot, and I wanted to get that in. And also something I thought about today, if you're late getting your garden in, if you need any gardening materials or anything, make sure you go over and see our friends at Cherokee Feed and Seed. They've got anything you could possibly want. They probably said got some deals on some tomato plants that's knee-high to a grasshopper. So go over and check them out. Great things coming with the bow shoot. You know, we've talked about it on several episodes, and I'm really excited for what we're going to be able to do with that this year. Brand new course, brand new targets, brand new people being here for it. It's just going to be a mixed bag of all kinds of news. So a lot of fun coming with it. And I think that's all the announcements I have.
I got a couple more, but just like you said, Cherokee Feed and Seed, don't go over there. You know, I know it's time to get on the water and have fun with your friends and family and get those cookouts, but those deer are ready for some salt and protein. So
that's right. That's right.
Get over there and get that. Start getting those out. It's time to put trail cameras out. Check that stuff. Don't wait till middle of August when deer season's right around the corner. Get that bow out. Go ahead and find you a bow shop, local, whatever one you want to use, and take it to them. And just get ready. I mean, it's It's never too early.
Bow shop.
Yeah.
Have you confirmed our delivery date for that yet?
No. No, I'm going to be the guy behind that's been on the water.
God, mighty dang.
I'm just reminding everybody else.
We got a new bow coming to the ranks this year, so I can't wait to go over there. I got to go get some strings put on an old bow. Yep. An old familiar friend getting a facelift for me, and you're getting a brand new bow this year. Josh is here with us tonight, and he's got him a brand new bow in his hands itself. So might as well be new. You didn't shoot it enough.
That's right. I didn't even kill a deer with it.
You didn't. Oh. Ain't even been broke in yet. Yep, so
you're gonna break it in, Josh. And hey, don't forget our buddy Cal Hardy. Call him if you're looking for some hunting land. You know what? It might not be a bad idea. Call him and ask if one of them farmers let you hunt.
No, don't do that because I've already been trying that. Y'all stay off that hook. Well, and I was thinking about that today, looking at the garden, you know, and we probably should have got that in a little bit earlier, talking about Colton and everybody at Cherokee Feed, but. As you said, salt's time to get out. I'm notoriously late on that, but need to get that salt in the ground. And, hey, I tell you, here's a secret tip. I don't know if it's a secret or not, but if you don't want to just go buy mineral salt or anything else, you can go buy rock salt. Deer love rock salt.
Yeah.
So go to Walmart and buy them out of rock salt. So all the kids is crying, they ain't got no ice cream.
I'm short of putting salt out right now, but down at our hunting club right there towards the end of turkey season, we probably got, I don't know, 1,200 pounds of protein out between all of us, and I put some out at my house the other day. I did have a hen behind my house Sunday with probably 10 little poults running behind her. And last thing for me is, you know, if you guys are gonna get out and start bush hogging your plots, be mindful that the does are about to start dropping their fawns. So, you know, if you can wait a little bit longer, let them get up on their feet.
Yeah, I know in the past we've even seen, and we're actually late cutting hay right now. It's been so wet, so we're not, and I hope that all the turkeys are off the nest. They got the poults out there. So we have hit some in the past, and I hope that don't happen this year. I hope they're up and gone and, you know, moving on.
I think the turkeys are, but I do think the deer ain't started really dropping yet.
Mm-mm.
So
no, I've heard some people talk about it or whatever, but anyway, that's it. I mean, I've got all kinds of stuff that we can talk about tonight, but you know, the guy that's in the studio tonight, he came by the little get together that we were having down at the Cherokee Outdoor Expo or whatever you want to call it down at the mill. Great little show. We can't wait to be a part of that in the future, but he came by, introduced himself. It was the first time we'd met Grant, and for him to agree to come up here and sit in with us tonight. Well, I don't know if it's an honor or a butt kicking, but Grant, thanks for being here.
Thanks for inviting me. No, it's definitely an honor.
You're wearing that Waffle House hat. Have you got the BG's already? Got the bubble guts? I got the bubble guts seeing that hat when he got out. So no, I felt like it was a hangover and a good time waiting to happen. So thanks for coming and being with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Where are you from, Grant? Tell everybody a little bit about yourself.
From Cherokee County. Grew up in Woodstock and then moved away to Oregon for a couple of years and came back and never thought I'd ever be back in Woodstock. I always wanted to get away from here when I was growing up, but we're here. So
found your way back home.
Yep. Got me a woman and two kids. And so, you know, life just moves on, but no, it's good being back.
What took you to Oregon?
A woman. I got you. Yeah. But it all worked out in the end. So
you chased one out there and brought one back.
Yep. Met my wife at a honky tonk after a rodeo. So like all great love stories.
There you go.
We're writing country songs tonight.
So you went out there to be a cowboy.
Wow. I wanted to be a cowboy, but I ended up just working for a logistics company and just spent all my free time fishing and hunting and hanging out and met my wife and moved back here. So I moved out to Oregon with $500 in bank account, moved back with $700. So it's a profit overall.
Did you play baseball or anything at Woodstock?
No, I actually went to a school called King's Academy, little private homeschool thing.
I forgot.
Yeah. Yep. And I played baseball, basketball, football, and then pretty much quit them all except for basketball. I'd be in the football practice field and geese be flying over and I'd be like, what am I doing out here?
Well, for people that don't know Grant, he's 6'6" and weighs about, I don't know, 275. He's a big old boy.
Casey's I'm 6'6", but barefoot I'm 6'4", 255. Put on some weight.
So did you get started hunting later on in life?
No,
or did
sir.
You hunt early
no,
on?
No, my dad took a son from when, I mean, 4 or 5 years old. He had a club down in Taylor County.
Okay.
And we'd go down there all the time and then we'd hunt. I grew up hunting right here, Altoona.
Okay.
So May. I remember we used to watch monster buck videos all the time. I was like 8 years old. We're sitting over there And a spike walks by. My dad's like yelling at me to shoot the thing. And I'm like, nah, I've seen all these Marshall Buck videos. There's going to be a big 180 walk by. And I didn't shoot a deer for another like 5 years.
Boy,
years
you fooled with a place you were hunting, right?
Yeah. Tell me about it. But the only deer I've seen there in 10 years was that one.
You have seen a spike and that's it.
Yep.
You know, and that's something that we've talked about a lot on the show, those hunting videos and what everybody thinks about. We just didn't see no big deer. A big 8-pointer was a big deer for us when we were growing up.
He's outside the ears. He's a big deer.
Oh, yeah. If he was outside the ears, I'd burn in the barrel off of it, son, growing up. What happened to you?
No, the kettle burp. So going out to Oregon, did you have any idea what you was about to get yourself into as far as terrain and hunting and all that stuff?
Not really. I went out for the people I got the job with. They were longtime family friends of my girlfriend at the time. And my job interview was him taking me on his boat fishing. And so I kind of got an idea then. I was like, I think I could do this. So we would just, my best friend was my boss. And so we would just go out and.
Is that salmon fishing?
Salmon, steelhead, and a lot of trout fishing. Okay. The Central Oregon has some world-class trout fishing. The Deschutes River, the Metolius, the Krug. I mean, there's a ton of rivers there.
Yeah.
That are world famous for their trout fishing.
And I think when you mean you had talked at the outdoor show, you know, you kind of gave me a few ideas on where to go, and which we'd already had our place booked. So it was. You know, it's actually funny because I went back through our messages while we were out there because we were having such a hard time mm-hmm. finding places. We Googled the place that you had sent me the coordinates to, and it was like 4 hours. And we're like, I don't think we can make that track today.
No.
and try to get back. But, yeah, it's a beautiful country out there. I mean, I would love to explore more of it and see it. Yeah. I guess Georgia's left wing now, but I know they're flying pretty hard left wing out there. So I don't know what parts you can kind of go to. I guess it's more the Portland area, but man, there's some beautiful country out there to see.
It is beautiful. I mean, and if you get like to the side you are on, the east side of the Cascades, I mean, it's all just cowboys and good old folk for the most part and beautiful country. But yeah, it's a big state. I mean, the town I lived in, it's called Prineville, Oregon, and it was the biggest town for 400 miles going east. So until you got to LeGrand, I was the biggest town. And it was a town of 9,000 people when I was living there.
Did you do a lot of shed hunting when you were out there?
A little bit. Yeah. Mostly if I was out in the woods in the springtime, I was turkey hunting.
Okay.
So, but I mean, there's people who do it. And yeah, like you were talking on the podcast earlier.
They bring good money, don't they?
They do. Yeah. If you get some good, you know, brown, fresh drop sheds, I mean, some of us tell me they go for like $17 a pound, depending on the market.
That's unreal.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know what an average elk shed would weigh. I would say, what, 20 pounds?
I'd say at least 10, probably.
Yeah.
Good size.
I mean, that's probably a small elk shed over there. That
and that
shed
probably weighs 10 pounds.
Probably so.
Does horns, and I guess it's something that, does the weight change as they sit out longer, would you think?
I think so. I think, probably lose moisture. Yeah. And probably.
Yeah.
I mean, you pick up a chalk, you know, antler's been sitting out there for 2 years, been chewed on by squirrels.
But I think like you said, though, I think Rusty had told us that they do give more money for the brown versus the white antlers.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I guess they can't dye them or anything. I get that's making furniture, jewelry, or whatever it
chandeliers
is.
Chandeliers or whatever.
Yeah.
I think they can do some, like, make a retrofit one, just make them out of, like, cast them.
Let's talk about fishing real quick for a second, because I was kind of like, I didn't know much about salmon and steelhead like that, but they're in the same category. Salmon just die after spawning, correct?
Yes, sir. Yep. Yeah. Steelhead.
Did you know that?
I did.
Did you?
Yeah.
That's crazy that something goes out of the ocean, comes back up, spawns, and then dies.
Yeah.
But the steelhead don't go out to the ocean?
No, they do. The same exact thing. So the steelhead will go make multiple trips. So once they spawn, the steelhead will go back out to the ocean and then come back. And the salmon will die once they spawn. And it's amazing, too. Like over there on the Snake River, like those salmon and steelhead have to cross like 7 dams. They'll run the whole Columbia River up. Like it's wild.
Oh, really?
There's a lot of controversy out there right now about water rights and dams and, you know, low fish numbers. But
have you seen those? You never seen those waterways they put in dams? I've watched some videos.
Fish ladders?
Yeah. They're ladders. It's what you said, a fish ladder, so they can get upstream. They have to do that.
Huh.
And they build them in so the fish can get upstream to spawn.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead.
I'll say, I was in Alaska. I've been in Alaska twice. I was commercial fishing out there 1 year, but they, same thing. Yeah, they fish ladders. We went and watched them. The salmon jumping up these fish ladders and bears sitting right there waiting to eat them.
Yep.
It's wild.
They don't keep those bears off of them? I guess there's no way to...
Beat them off with a stick or something. Break off a stall.
That's wild. You know, I was telling on the podcast, too, we was coming through Oregon, which I'm sure you're probably used to it living there, but was driving that just right outside of LeGrand. There's some big cliffs there. All those goats are up there.
Yeah.
That's pretty fascinating to see stuff like that. I mean, it's just ain't something you see every day here.
No.
I mean, you drive across Buford Dam and see them regular goats over there on the rocks.
Yeah, it's a totally different just landscape and environment. I mean, Oregon especially, you got the rainforest over there on the west side, and then you got the high desert, then you have the actual desert in southeast Oregon. And I mean, yeah, it's beautiful, beautiful country, but it is different. I remember first time hunting out there, I was like, man, this is not like the back 40 at home. I mean, this is a lot of walking.
You and I were describing, I was talking on that last show about driving from the place we hunted over to Idaho, and we was driving through that Hales Canyon.
Yep.
And I was trying to explain how big the gorge is, and you had said something. What was you saying about it?
I think I heard it's like the deepest natural gorge or something like that. Like it rivals the Grand Canyon. Like it's massive.
Yeah, it was just unreal to see.
Yeah.
Just to drive through that. And we're just, and once we got to the other side, we're like, I'm glad we didn't do this in the dark like we were originally going to.
Yeah, I would not want to do that in the dark.
No,
or in any sort of snow, cold weather, nothing.
No. And I just, you think, is that just normal for people to drive out there on the road?
Yeah. Yeah. I remember when I lived in Oregon too. I mean, I was living in Central Oregon and would drive almost every other weekend across the Cascades, across Mount Hood, excuse me. And it was like 2.5 hours over the mountain. I drove in so many blizzards and snow and windy roads.
Did you chain up?
No, never chained up once. Just had four-wheel drives and good tires. I kept changing me, but I never had to use them.
You know, we had, I don't think I'd mentioned it on there about the flat tire, did I?
No.
Yeah, we had a flat.
I didn't know you had one.
Yeah, we had a flat tire on there, like midweek in Idaho. And we actually went to one of those tire shops there in one of those local towns. And that guy told us, he said, these tires are only 4-ply. He said, most people out here, as soon as they buy a new vehicle, they go swap them for 10-ply. Yep. And then right there on his tire shelf, I'd never seen them before, but they got all those tires. It's got the holes in them. They're pre-drilled.
Stud.
You can put the studs in them. I never saw all of those. Yeah. They had a whole rack of them.
Yeah, Oregon's about one of the only states, I think, that allows them anymore. I think like Oregon and Montana do, maybe.
Yeah, he said they eat the roads up.
Yeah, but great traction.
Yeah, I bet.
Jeez.
It probably beats pulling over, putting chains up, because you see those signs everywhere out there.
Yeah.
Pull over here to chain up.
I mean, those 18-wheelers, I mean, yeah, they spend 2 hours putting change on. I mean, it's a pain too. I mean, I helped my buddy one time do it because he was driving a little tiny little compact car, and I was like, I'm never doing this. I was driving slow. Took me 9 hours to get back home, but typically like a 2.5 hour drive.
Oh,
my. Blizzards. There was like 2 fatalities. It can be sketchy.
Yeah,
but
was it those goats out there? And this is just ignorance on my part for not knowing, but are they a sought after animal to hunt, or can you get a tag for them?
It's like, it's, they call it like a once in a lifetime tag.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, people put in for 20, 25 years for that. Same with the sheep out there.
Wow.
Like they're very, there's a lot of debate and controversy over just ODFW's tag allocations for big game animals. So, I mean, right. Like that's another thing too, living out there is, you know, if I want to hunt big game elk or deer, if I hunt with my bow, I can hunt for 1 month. And then I'm like, coming from Georgia, I can hunt from September to January and kill anywhere I want, kill 12 deer.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is different. But nowadays, they changed it where even if you hunt with a bow, you have to get drawn from most units. Well, on the east side, that is. The west side, they're still general. But, yeah, I mean, all those big game, any nice unit, it's going to take a number of years. You have point creep.
Is it the same residents have to draw as well?
Yeah, yeah. And
that's
it's just
bull crap. That's like Utah, you know, talking to Shad about it out there. I mean, that's... If you're a resident, you should be able to get a tag. Yeah. I mean, I would think every year.
You would think,
It's just supply and demand. I mean, more people want to hunt these animals than the ecosystem will allow.
Now what we saw up on that, I may have misquoted this, but what we saw up there, were they sheep or goats or white?
Probably mountain goats.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
If I had to guess, especially in that area.
Yeah. Solid white.
Yeah.
I mean,
you called them goats, didn't you?
I think so. Yeah. I just didn't know if they're sheep. I guess you got to go pretty high in elevation to find some sheep.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never had a chance to hunt them. I've seen them before, but
I remember wanting to go and hunt, saying something about it one time, wanting to hunt a goat. And I was telling Dad how much it cost, and I'd looked into it and everything else. He said, hell, I got a Kiko out here in the pasture. I'll let you shoot $500. And he said, I'll take you on a guided trip, take you to get breakfast and everything. He said, shoot that goat out there. I will never forget that. That goat would fight you. You'd jump up on your back legs and it would get up and try to fight you and stuff. He said, I'll take you out here. You shoot that in $500. He said, I tell you what, I'll do one even better. I'll even cut him up for you when we're done.
Oh, that's funny. Were you able to go to a lot of the surrounding states while you lived there and hunt or anything?
No, I didn't hunt or fish really in the surrounding states. I mean, we traveled to Idaho a little bit and Washington just a little bit. That was just for hikes or hanging out. But I was poor, so I didn't have any money for any sort of out-of-state license. My money went to gas and flies and hunting equipment.
Gotcha.
Kind of what it still goes to, but...
Did you enjoy did you enjoy catching those steelheads better more than anything else?
I didn't catch many steelhead. They're hard to catch, but I caught a lot of trout. I caught a lot of trout, and I miss it a lot. It's a blast. But while I was out, it's funny, you know. I think whenever you spend enough time away from something, you tend to have fonder memories. Because when I was out there, I was like, man, I would give anything to go back to Georgia, a little farm pond, throw a buzzbait, catch a largemouth.
Now we're talking. Yeah.
So, I mean, just, you know, being happy wherever I am. But, yeah, I mean, it's a blast. I'm going out there in June with my wife to see her family, and I'll do some fishing trip with my buddy. He's got a drift boat, so we'll go float down the Deschutes and catch some fish on dries and have a good time.
On what?
Dry flies. The
oh.
Yeah, just
fly fishermen.
So, what do y'all put that boat
big
in?
Big money fisherman.
Turn it sideways, anchor off?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, actually, in Oregon, you're not allowed to fish from a boat in a number of rivers. So you'll anchor the boat, get out, fish a run, get back in. So it's not quite like Montana. It depends on each river. But yeah.
Is it jet boats out there mostly?
People do have jet boats. He has a drift boat, but people will run jet boats up to Columbia, you know, up to the Deschutes, you know, all these different tributaries.
Have you ever been in a jet boat?
Snake River has a lot of them.
Never been in one? Them so good to run in 6 inches of water. It'd blow your mind.
That's not the ones with the wings on the propellers on the back?
No. It's a jet drive. It's basically it's forcing water out that. It's sucking water in and forcing it out.
Is that long axle?
No. That's a gator tail. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's like what they run in Louisiana in them swamps and stuff. That's something. Maybe we need to ask somebody that does that. Why not just run a jet drive? Well, I guess if you're running in lily pads and stuff, you can't because it's sucking it in. It'll pull a lily pad through your jet and blow it out.
I wish I had a jet. We've had a jet drive a couple years ago on the Etowah. Me and my dad, we used to hunt out. He had a 1964 Lumacraft. The thing was pearl blue and white. And it was the only boat we had. But used it to access, you know, different
properties. It was
property.
A jet drive?
No, it was just a 1973 Johnson Seahorse. Oh, but nice. We hit bottom a bunch of times.
I guarantee
I wish I had a jet drive.
Well, first time I ever heard one of them, it sounded like a dang airplane taking them. Well, I was like, what in the world was that? A lot of them boys up in Tennessee, though, they run jet foots on them.
Gotcha.
To take them, and you can take the foot off of a regular motor and put a jet drive on there. It's not an inboard like a lot of the jet drives that I've seen. But
I think Catman might have. I think y'all had Catman on.
Yep.
I think he's got one now.
Yep. It's like one. The only one that I've ever seen like his is Shelby on Swamp People. Had that jet drive boat that he would go up a river, and it was like a battle tank. I mean, he'd run over trees and everything else because there's nothing hanging out. I mean, it's all inboard, and you got the jet drive inside of it.
No prop to bust.
No.
How long have you been back from out there?
I mean, probably 3-4 years now.
Okay.
I was back here before COVID, thank God.
Yeah.
But
are you glad to be back or do you wish you lived?
No, I like it. I'm glad to be back in Georgia. I mean, I wish I lived more up here or whatever, but it just is what it is. But my wife she'd love to go back right now if she could.
Really?
I mean, that's where her family is, she's from. I mean, everybody misses home. You know, home's where you grew up for the most part. So we'll see, maybe in the future, but yeah, it's a beautiful country, but yeah, I'm happy to be here. It's cheaper to live here too. That's for sure.
Yeah. Is that the biggest factor? You think it's like weather? I mean, does winter shut down out there for work?
Not really. No. It's just more, you know, the culture, you know, economic climate and cost of living, I'd say.
Yeah.
It's definitely a different culture.
Cost of living is very expensive out there.
Yeah.
But it seems like they give you, like, even like restaurants, even like hometown restaurants, you seem like you get more of a portion than you do here.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, let me tell you.
Did you go to the Cheyenne Cafe?
We went to this place in LeGrand.
Mm-hmm.
And they, Blaine ordered two sausage patties, dude. They look like a cow's head. They come out there and he was, I mean, blown away at it. But now, I think his bill was $30, but
a lot of sausage, $15.
They just take care of you out there, it seems like.
Yeah.
You kind of get what you pay for, really, out there.
Those little diners, yeah, those mom-and-pop diners, man. Yeah, you'll eat good.
Yeah.
I knew at some point in these trips. No,
here
no,
we go.
No,
ain't
no I knew at some point in all these trips you've done some eating you ain't told us
I know.
About.
We didn't even talk about eating on the last episode, all the snacks. Yeah.
No cathead biscuits, no grits, though, nothing.
Dad asked one restaurant, y'all got any sweet tea? And she said, you know what? We fixed sweet tea for about a month and we had one person order it. So they don't even do it out there.
Yeah, I asked for one time. The lady gave me tea and some Splenda. And I was like, lady, that ain't what I'm talking about.
Yeah. And everything is, and which I don't have a problem with it, but everything's Pepsi products out there, not Coke products, which I'm fine. I like Dr. Pepper, but.
Mountain Dew.
I'm not a Mountain Dew guy.
I mean, did they have Mountain Dew?
Yeah, I think they have Mountain Dew and was it Sierra Mist instead of Sprite?
Mellow Yellow or whatever.
Yeah.
Flat Sprite.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's gonna be. I mean, I love Georgia. I'm from Georgia. I'm from here. I love it. I like hunting these animals and fishing around here, and I don't know. It's just comfortable to me.
So out there, you're talking about doing a lot of hiking, and I got to ask a boot question because I'm actually in the market for some boots. Yep. What was your boot of choice?
I went through a lot of boots. I tried Schnees, Crispy, Kennetrek, and I'm running right now Hoffman's. They're a little bootmaker out of Idaho. The only reason is because I wear a size 15, and it's very hard to find somebody that makes
a I bet so.
Yeah. So, I mean, I tried.
You got a family of five living in them damn shoes? God.
Half a cow for each boot, pretty much. But yeah,
Hoffman.
Yeah, Hoffman boots out of Idaho. And it makes a good boot. I've worn them for now, what, two, three seasons? I got those in my, I got like cross rubber boots that I wear. But, I mean, the Crispies, I like the Crispies a lot. They were very nice. They just didn't fit my foot properly, but the construction was there.
Yeah.
I think those Italian boots, they just run a little too narrow, just in general. I had some Lowe's, too.
Those Hoffmans, are they made in Italy and shipped here?
No, they're made here. At least from my understanding, yeah, they're made here.
Okay.
And he makes pack boots too.
Because I keep reading about these boot companies, they all look the same and they're all made in Italy.
Yeah.
So at what point do they
exactly?
You know, they putting a different name on them, I guess, or what?
Whatever marketing you like better.
Yeah. And the one thing I have noticed, like the Kennetreks are a little bit heavier than the Crispies. And I keep hearing such good things and reviews about the Crispies. That's probably what I'll end up going with. The only problem is I wish they had a retail store here that you could try them on.
Right.
The closest retail store for Crispy is Nashville.
Yeah.
Or it's just a little south of Nashville. And the closest Kennetreck place is Blairsville, which ain't bad, but
Alexander's or something.
Yeah. Alexander's has got Kennetreck. Huh. But you know, I was talking to a guy last night about the Crispies and he was actually the one who told me about the place. I think it's called Bulk Outdoors up in Murfreesboro or something.
Huh.
And just south of Nashville. And he was telling me that the Italians are so hard to work with. Really? That they don't want to just be in, they want to be in certain places. So you would think like if they're a rugged boot, they'd want to be like in a North Georgia, Appalachian kind of area. Yeah. But if you pull up their map, they're mainly westward.
Yeah. So.
Rednecks ain't going to spend that on boots now. Huh? Hell far.
Hell, everything's going up.
I agree, but they want just the cheapest, whatever boot they can find. Rednecks is rednecks. I'm right there with you, boys. There's $200-$400 boots. I can't see doing it.
I get trapped up in form. I love talking about gear and trying out new gear. So, I mean, the good thing with those, they have pretty good resale. I mean, especially if it's a common size, with the 15. I got a pair of, hey, if anybody out there wants a pair of Loa size 15 Tibets, they fit like a 14. I got them.
If anybody wants to go skiing this summer, summertime's here. If you got any boats you want to use, there's a 14 size ski over here.
You seen them cowboy boots they plant plants in? No. Decorate?
You need you some new pontoons on your boat, boys. So I got the man for you. Just come on with it. So what, are you saddle hunting yet?
Oh, yeah.
Are you?
Yes, sir.
What kind of saddle are you running?
I don't know if you want to talk about that.
Yeah, sure. I mean, hell, we do. What kind are you running?
I mean, the last two seasons I've been running a Latitude Method two-panel.
Okay. Yeah.
But, I mean, it was, yeah. I mean, I don't
know. Didn't you try a cruiser at the show?
Yeah, and it was very comfortable. I might have heard a lot of people talking about them.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I might end up getting one. I've been looking, doing some more research. I really need some new sticks first, and I saw they had some new sticks over there.
Yeah.
Which piqued my, and I got the Cruiser Seeker, the platform.
We've been told August is a drop for the sticks.
So. I will say the platform is fantastic, especially for someone like me who leans, like having that little lip on the front.
Yep.
Is a game changer.
Well, don't forget now, if we do the same as last year, we'll have a saddle shoot up here.
Is that right?
Yep. Yeah.
So sweet. for a small fee, you hit the right spot, you might win a saddle.
Ooh, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's fine with me.
You get entered into a chance to win at the Talk About It Outdoors Bow Shoot.
That's right.
What a plug. What a man. And with saddle hunting, and you grew up here.
Yes, sir.
Did it change the way you hunted? Or did you find yourself, I don't necessarily know that it changed the way you hunted, but did it make you feel like you were more efficient hunting?
Yeah, I mean, well, it made me feel more mobile. Well, I've always been pretty mobile. Like, you know, we had climbers growing up. I hate lugging a climber around in the woods. So I hunt a lot off the ground just so I can stay mobile, and I'm kind of lazy and don't like to bring a climber. But having a saddle is an option. I mean, something I can just stick my backpack or wear around. and it makes it a really, really convenient. I don't have an excuse now to be lazy. I can, you know, pack it in, climb a tree.
Well, it's what we've talked about time and time again, and I was thinking about this the other day, just going through some gear. The saddle game, my tree stand weighed 16 pounds, and I had a Summit open shot. You know, it was the lightest weight climber at the time that you could buy, and it still weighed 10 pounds heavier than my sticks and my saddle did together. So it's one of those things a lot of people say that they, and I still hear it, which blows my mind. That I don't know why it should, because I was the same way, but I still hear it from all kinds of people. This saddle, I can't do it. I just don't think I'm going to do it. I don't know. If you, until you get your butt in one, it will change the way that you hunt.
Yeah. Once you adjust it too, I mean, it's comfortable. I mean, yes. It really is comfortable. Have you especially for someone fat like me too. I mean, it is. It's, I like it. I mean, I sit all day.
Have you seen that bridge?
I was about to say that 3D.
Oh yeah, Genesis 3D.
Do
you think
the hip pinch thing?
Do you think that's something that's necessary?
I don't, because I think on one of our earlier episodes I talked about loosening up that belt strap, and that helps a lot.
I think you're using the wrong saddle if you're having extreme hip pinch. Yeah. I mean, I honestly, that's just and nothing on those guys. Great, you know, innovation for guys that already have saddles that are pinching them, but. I feel like a lot of people, until they get into one of those XCs, they have an extreme amount of hip pinch.
Yeah, if you'll loosen up that belt strap and just let it all the way out and just be loose there, you're not going to fall out of it.
No.
I mean, I do make sure that I got my leg, which I leave them unloosed all the way too, but you're fine, and that really helped me a lot. So, I mean, it does, after long days, it'll get to wearing on you if you got it cinched down super tight, but...
Yeah, well, I think another big thing too is just make sure your bridge length is, you know, proper. You know, shortening or lengthening it can really help with
height of it on your face and everything else.
Exactly. And, you know, if it's steeper angle, you know, it's good. If it's a really long bridge, you're gonna have a steeper angle, and it's gonna pinch it more.
What sticks and backpack are you running right now?
My backpack's right now a Mystery Ranch Pop Up 38, and so it's more of a Western. The only thing I don't like about that pack is it's loud, and I've tried to like brush it down and make it quieter. So I'm in the market currently for a new pack. And then sticks, I got some old Hawk Heliums.
Okay, that's what I got.
Yeah.
The backpack, is that, being a Western, is it more of the kind of like the one y'all have with the frame pack in it?
Yeah, it's got like a, I guess they call it a collapsible frame. It's got, you can take the backpack part off and there's a meat shelf there. And you untuck these little tubes and you can carry meat on it if you want. I just, what I had when I was out west, and it's been a good pack to me. It's easy to carry. It carries the weight really well.
Okay.
So hiking in, you know, a good ways, that helps a lot. And I hate just the little backpacks with, you know, the little JanSport or your Nike backpack. Yeah, I like that type.
What type of bow hanger are you running?
Screw in. That, or I have I think from Genesis 3D printing, they have the little, for public land, they have the little strap with the little hooks on it, 3D printed hooks.
Yeah.
I got those too. I just wrapped them in, you know, silencer tape.
Okay.
That hanger that, and we run the BK Outdoors, and Brian, he keeps coming out with new stuff. I see his stuff all the time, but that thing it's a game changer for saddle hunting. I mean, it's just that jawbone and everything. Yeah, I mean, it's just a wad of little, you know, strap, and I hate trying to get a, you know, bow hanger in the tree. I mean, that's one of the worst.
I'll use the screwing one mostly just for presets.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I do any of those.
I'm excited to use that Fourth Arrow saddle arm.
Oh,
I only
too.
Used it one time last year when I was in a box stand. I was able to strap it to the tree there. That is a ladder stand, but it looks like a box. I was able to strap it to a tree, but I'm anxious to see how well it works with the lock on and that, using both of them. But
yeah, I think there's all kinds of little innovations and stuff, and maybe we can do gear breakdowns later on in the year as we get closer to deer season. But have you seen an increase in the size of the deer that are around here, Grant? I mean, you grew up hunting here. I mean, there's been some hammers killed in the last few years.
Especially that big one y'all had, the
Dave.
Yeah. God, man. I looked at that picture 100 times.
Yes.
Dude, that thing was a monster.
Yeah. I mean, and we had, what's the guys from Suburban Bow Hunter
Bailey.
Yep. Bailey and those guys are killing some giants in Woodstock. Yeah. I mean,
I do some of that. We've been doing that for years, knocking on doors and getting permission. And so, but yeah, there are some big, I think part of it is people just, you know, get them a little more educated, and people aren't, not everybody's just, if it's brown, it's down.
Right.
And growing up, that's my dad.
Well, and I think that's something we've talked about a lot. There's been a big change in the amount of people eating deer meat. So they don't kill as many deer. I mean, I saw more deer this year than I've ever seen around. I mean, it just seemed like every field you drove by, there were fields full of deer.
Yeah. I saw a ton of does this year. I mean, a ton.
Are you hunting just public land or you got leases?
I don't have any leases. I got public land I've gotten access to, or my buddy's place. I got a buddy down in Monticello. I hunt with him about once, twice a year.
Are you looking for leases? Or do you just...
I mean, yeah, I mean, sure.
Well, the reason I'm asking, for somebody that don't have a lease, what are you doing to try to find something? Are you using an app? I know some people use Basecamp, which Basecamp, I think everything on there is gone now, but it seems like...
There's never anything for Georgia on
Basecamp. I don't pay for Basecamp. I know you get a little bit, I guess you can get a little bit more exclusive stuff if you pay for it.
You get access to it sooner.
Sooner, yeah, but you still don't like see, because you can see if there's anything available.
Right. I mean, you still see what's available regardless of what your membership level is.
Basecamp?
Basecamp Leasing is a website where you can go, like landowners can go in and post their land for lease for hunting.
It has a landowner category and it has a hunting lease. So like, let's say your dad's like, I'm going to lease this pasture out. He could get on there and put it and say, I want $5,000 a year and lease it. And I don't know this, but I think you buy the insurance through Basecamp for the property.
They call it a hunt club fee. It's $150 regardless of what the price of the land is. It's $150.
That's where Mayo and Mark lease their stuff for Illinois.
And there's a lot of stuff on there, and I've gone. I'll tell you, in terms of looking for leases, it's a great place to look, because you can go in and kind of find a handful of places that are in the same vicinity. All you do is click a button, and it gives you a permission to access, so you can go and preview the property before you decide to put down a deposit.
Oh wow!
So you print it out, you take it with you. And you can go out and look at that. I've gone and looked at dozens of properties that way.
Wow. I've never even heard of Basecamp.
I check it all the time just because I check it for Illinois in case I can find something close to us that we can just lease up there just to have another piece of private ground there. But generally, there's not much there. If they do, they want $12,000 for it, and I'm not giving that for it. But it'll usually tell you the price and how many hunters they'll allow. Like, it'll be 300 acres, and they'll only want four guys.
Yeah.
So... it's a pretty good website, but I guess really what I was getting at with asking you that, Grant, is there another website that you might use other than Basecamp or Facebook? Or
if I'm going to be looking, I've perused around Facebook or really GON, but I mean, I think most of my stuff's pretty local. Like, I'd love to have a lease right now and place, you know, South Georgia, go out and hunt and plant food plots, but just with family life, I mean, I got a great wife. She lets me hunt, you know, a ton, but it's nice that I'm, you know, pretty close to the house, and you know, I can sneak out for a morning, come back, help with the kids, play with the kids, hang out with them. So hopefully in the future here, I can either own my own or just lease on with a nice, nice piece that I can actually really work and can control. Cause a lot of pieces I have, I mean, you have no control over. You can't really clear anything. Can't put any fire on the ground, or, you know, there's development happening, you lose property, but just trying to stay mobile.
Do you go anywhere out of state to deer hunt, or have you went yet?
No, sir. Not yet. No.
Plans to?
I would love to. I got a buddy who's trying to get me to go to South Dakota, and I got another buddy wants me to go chase the Alabama rut with him. So maybe
be talking about Jake that wants to go to South Dakota. Yeah. You'd fit in out there with those. You know those cowboys well.
I guess I might be all hat, no cattle. We'll see.
I did see a guy in one of those cafes come in with spurs on. I thought, that's pretty cool. That's something you see every day.
Did you get nervous he's going to ride you?
Kick his ass, man.
Clink, clink, clink. Is that
all
what it was?
All the way through the restaurant.
Oh, man, I'd have been nervous. He had a pistol. Show me your pistol.
Yeah. I mean, why do you think I stopped and bought these cougars?
I noticed you was drinking them.
I was going to be a half cowboy.
I think there's a lot of people like me, though, who are just, you know, similar situation. You're trying to do. That's why I think someone like Seek One or Suburban Bow Hunter, they've gotten really popular just because people.
What is the name of that? Is it Urban?
Or Urban Bow Hunter.
Is that what it is? Or what's
you talking about Suburban Whitetail?
Is it Suburban Whitetail?
Up in Virginia?
That's it. Huh? No, that's here, Bailey. Bailey,
that's right. Yeah. Follow me on Instagram there. But I mean, people just, same thing. It's like, you know, I can hunt close to the house here and have a chance to maybe a good deer. I mean, especially in the suburban areas,
man. If you're willing to put the work in there and knock on the doors and do that kind of stuff, I mean, you're probably going to get a chance at a good deer, you know?
Yeah, well, definitely some does. You can definitely kill.
But I would bet, though, if you sit down with those Sequin guys right now and ask them if it's harder now, I bet it is because everybody's doing that now. Just think of that. I mean, prime example, last year, Cody watched that deer all year on camera, boom, which that guy lived there, I understand, but it's a little different situation, but watch it all year, and then boom, they go in there to film, and that guy kills it.
Yeah, the same evening.
The same evening they're there.
Yeah, yeah.
But
well, I think Chase Turner, I think, does the same thing.
Yeah.
Dawsonville.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I mean, yeah, there is. I've seen a lot of company. I mean, I've seen a lot more hunters in the woods, and people I've talked to saying, "Oh, I've got four people asking me, or so and so hunts here." But I mean, just I don't know, just staying vigilant. I mean, it's all it is just sales. You're just selling yourself. That's what all sales is, anyways. In the beginning,
that's right.
I'm just always driving around. If I see a good looking piece of woods or deer, just checking on necks and go knock on the door. I always carry with me some permission slips in my truck and a little release waiver.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Just have it always ready in case I see something.
You know what I think that has done in our area, though? It has taken the pressure off of some of these public areas.
Oh, I'm sure.
I mean, there's 100, because you may have five guys that get five different pieces of permission property in an area. They're chasing one deer. Well, you just took out probably five hammers that are going to be on public land, and because they're going to consistently hunt those areas trying to kill that deer, and they're not going to chase, you know, Dawson Forest or, you know, up around what is the ones Amarillo, La Blue Ridge, yeah. Coosawhattee, anyone, you know, those up in there. I mean, they're just not there anymore. So
I talked to a guy last night. I went and dropped that deer off at the taxidermist I killed back in Thanksgiving, and was talking to him. We know a guy. He does heat and air work. We know the same guy, and he said that guy had been killing some freaking big deer. He'd been going to these people's houses doing heat and air jobs and trading them out hunting rights for the job, basically doing the job for nothing and to kill deer.
Damn.
Yeah.
My dad had a buddy growing up. He was a timber cruiser, and so he would just go around people's property, walk, take the timber. And my dad said that man had more access and more big deer on his wall. I'm like, I need a job like that. I'll trade you work for.
Talking about timber, people, we were out there in Idaho, and they had like this big in one of these meadows up and off the gravel road. They had a bunch of tents set up, and they were, I guess they worked for the forestry people, and they come in there and survey this forest or whatever. That but our buddy Rusty that lives out there calls them pinecone police. But they have these big wall tents set up. I mean, they spend, all the trucks look the same. They got Yeti coolers everywhere. And just, I thought that was funny. They call them pinecone police.
When do you think the first time you ever heard about Oregon was, other than Oregon Trail?
Oh, man. Oregon Trail. just, you mean the state in
the
general?
The state, yeah. Yeah, I mean, just thinking about it, because I know when it was for me.
I guess it was little, learning states, but.
You remember Ray Stevens? I'm a logger sent up here from Coos Bay, Oregon.
Mississippi Squirrel Revival?
That's it, yeah. I mean, that's the first time I remember hearing about. You remember Ray Stevens?
No.
You don't remember that day the squirrel went berserk? And the First Baptist Church in the sleepy little town of Pascagoula. You don't remember that? No. God, Tyler remembers it. Oh,
no, I don't remember that.
Run up Marv's overall leg. You don't remember that?
No.
God almighty.
Was that a song on the radio?
It was Ray Stevens.
About 1974, probably.
God, I got to find that.
Ray Stevens was a comedic musician.
Okay. Yes.
I got to find that. Y'all keep talking. I'm going
to
find
that. Them old timers get a kick out of that, I guess, to listen to this.
It was,
well, there's an old Johnny Cash song called Lumberjack. He talks about being in Roseburg, Oregon, too.
Working in the lumber yard.
Y'all talking out of my.
Ray Stevens was pre Foxworthy.
Yeah. Okay. So let's see if I can find that. I got to look that up real quick. Give the listeners a piece of Ray Stevens.
Some of those songs sound like old Jerry Clower bits.
Was a
hot steel marbles.
You enjoy deer hunting or turkey hunting more?
That's a hard question.
Yeah.
No. I might give the edge to turkey hunting.
Yeah.
I just love the back and forth vocalization.
Yeah. Were you able to, I didn't even ask you, were you able to do much elk hunting in Oregon?
Yeah, I did it two seasons and came up empty both times. I got an elk and a mule deer tag.
Was that, and again, we said it on here multiple times and people said, is that like chasing turkeys?
People say it, but I think it's a lot harder.
Boy,
there you go. That's interesting.
Part of the whole problem with elk hunting too is you got to figure out how to get the dang thing out of the woods.
Well, just like Rusty said, man, these elk, not only do you call them in like that, but they can also smell.
Yeah.
So you're basically calling a turkey in that can smell. And we've always said if a turkey could smell, you'd probably never kill one.
Yeah.
Now, horse-sized turkey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The only time you kill, you know, they only kill these big bulls during the rut, you know. So it's all about the calling. And I guess I don't know how much the wind plays in a factor.
That's everything. Everybody is serious about it. It's all about wind, thermals, and just getting close. And those guys, I think, are more aggressive than turkey hunters. Like, they're always saying, like, when you think you're close enough, just
keep going.
Yeah, get closer. Like, it's a lot like turkeys too. They pinpoint where that sound's coming from. Like, they know exactly which tree or the sound was coming from.
And I wonder if that plays a factor in people that really like that take passion in elk hunting and turkey hunting. I wonder if they can use that skill to be better turkey hunters because they are so aggressive on them.
I'd say. I mean, when I read these forums and stuff, people talk about all the time. They're like, they're just getting their elk fixing in the springtime with turkey hunting.
Yeah.
But it's just turkeys about to. I mean, if turkeys could smell, I mean, I don't know how I'd ever kill one.
Because I bet if people come, well, prime example, Bo Brooks talking about North Georgia's kind of home, feels like home to him from Washington, but I bet he just don't sit on these birds and play a slow play them like I was growing up doing. Yeah. I bet he's aggressive and just goes because that's what he's used to out west because they're always moving.
Yep. Well, every time I talk to Lonnie Mayberry, he just tells me make three little yelps and sit there and shut up. That's all the old timers. That's all they ever say.
How long you been knowing Lonnie?
Only a couple years.
Yeah. How'd you get introduced to him?
How did I get introduced to him? I think a buddy of mine grew up here in Waleska, Hunter Coggins, excuse me. Okay. Anyways, and he knew Lonnie and heard he had some turkey calls. Went up there one day, didn't know what I was getting into. Ended up leaving there 4 hours later. A couple calls in my pocket, and I love just going to visit him, listen to his stories, and he makes a fine turkey call.
He does make a fine turkey call, and we've got to get over that.
Y'all have a very long podcast.
We've got to get over it. I think we can. I don't even care if we just go over there and set a phone up and turn the cord on, but we got
to
get over there.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to get Billy Bass, try and get a trumpet from him for a while too, but I mean, everybody wants one. I don't think he's doing too well, or his wife isn't at least.
Okay,
try and get one of those for like 3 years, but there you go. Well, Harv hit the aisles dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon. And Harv thought he had a weed eater loose in his fruit of the blooms. He fell to his knees.
You've never heard that.
The squirrel ran out of his britches. I don't think so. Sir, to the other
side of the room. We don't get a copyright violation. All
the way down to the amen pew. We don't get that many listeners.
Yeah, I know. And watching all the commotion was sadistic.
Listen. Should have seen the look in her eyes when that squirrel jumped her garters and crossed her thighs, and she jumped to her feet and said, "Lord, have mercy on me."
You've never heard the Mississippi Squirrel Revival by Ray Stevens.
I bet y'all used to listen to that Forever Squirrel Hunt.
Well, no. When I was a kid, we listened to Ray Stevens. Everybody around did. But I went to South Georgia to see my great aunt Jean, and there was a VHS tape of Ray Stevens that I can remember sitting down there and watching. I thought it was the greatest. You never heard the streak? Well, they call him the streak. Woo! Prettiest thing on 2 feet.
Come on.
Probably not.
Don't look at Bo! You never heard that?
Probably not.
Lord have mercy. What kind of
shelter? I grew up underneath a rock.
You must have.
We didn't have enough money for a radio.
There was only like three songs that he ever had that was.
If it didn't come on 2511 or TBS, we probably didn't see it.
Well, but he wasn't seeing it, was hearing it. You ain't got to watch it. It's a song.
My dad had
some music videos.
My dad had the same thing with Drive Down Hunting Camp. He had cassettes, Jerry Clower and Jeff Foxworthy. We listened to those and just laugh our butts off. I thought it was the best thing in the world.
Yeah.
Where'd y'all hunt back then?
Taylor County, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, down there. Or Taylor and Meriwether.
I am disappointed in you and Ray Stevens.
Sorry, buddy. I'll listen to it this weekend. We have a quiz next week.
We got to listen to three songs. The Streak, Everything is Beautiful, and the Mississippi Squirrel Revival.
Don't make the questions too hard because I can't promise you I'll listen.
But speaking of squirrel, that's the thing I missed out there too in Oregon was squirrel hunting, man. You can't really – there's no – squirrel or coon hunting out there.
Man, what about the ground squirrels, though?
That little pine squirrels?
Yeah.
Little chipmunk thing? Yeah. People love to go out there with 22s and
I was telling Alex about them and last year, and things just stay on the ground. And they make holes across those roads like moles.
Yeah.
It's funny because they go from – it looks like somebody drug a log across the road, and then there'll be two holes on each side. But yep. Pretty wild. Little
funny little critters.
Yeah, they are. Like an oversized chipmunk. Yeah. Well, they're like a squirrel and a chipmunk kind of grown baby.
Got hair on the end of their ears.
Not really, but their tails are about an inch long. And then we seen a lot of snow-footed rabbits. Is that what they call them? Snowshoe.
Oh, really?
Snowshoe rabbits.
I don't think I ever saw
them. Hair.
Maybe all their feet, are white. Yeah. Huh. Pretty neat. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. Big. Throw them big.
Yeah, they're bigger than like a cotton.
Hey, I've been to tell you, you know, I can say it on here because I ain't gonna say who told me this, but a guy told me he's got 1,200 acres that we can rabbit hunt.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it within an hour?
30 minutes.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
So said it's eat up with rabbits.
Really?
Got eat some pickles?
Up. Come from it was actually came from a conversation about coyote hunting.
Okay.
So he was wanting me to come there and coyote hunt, and I got him. Is there timber? And he's like, nah, it's kind of cut over, mixed timber. So it's got a lot of rabbits and squirrels on it if you want to run your squirrel dogs on it. So
yeah,
maybe something we need to look into.
I'd love to.
I ain't going
to
tell his name on here. Y'all hate me. I don't care.
Did you see a lot of coyotes while you're out there or any at all?
I don't think we saw none. No. Yeah. No. I didn't mention them. Again, they're going to come on the podcast a later date, but Slim put on his on the Slim Reaper Instagram page a wolf track.
Oh wow!
And that was just right down the street from one where we were staying, and two where Slim killed his bird in Idaho.
Well, I told you this story, and I'm gonna tell it on here, and we can keep going after it. But I have ran Tory Cook's calls for a long time, the Made for Killing calls, and never really knew anything about them. Just ran some of the calls and stuff like that. But I ordered a couple of T-shirts from them. They had posted some online, and I was sitting. I got home from work and I saw the package there and there was some stuff with it. And I was like, what? I thought I just ordered a T-shirt or whatever, but in there was a letter. And it was I should have brought it out here and read some of it, but it was a letter and it had some inspirational words on it and things like that. But it had a couple Bible verses on it. And then there was a booklet, a leather bound booklet that had, the booklet was called the Stories of Jesus is what it was called. And I thought that was pretty neat that a company, is, and I told you this, that puts God at the forefront of things, that they're willing to do that. No matter, they may send that to somebody and lose business over it, but they're not scared to do that. I thought that was pretty neat. And I posted in their group and sent Tori a message about it, that it was, I think that's pretty neat that a company's willing to put it out there like that, that they're not ashamed, because I think a lot of the, we talk about the cancel policy or whatever that goes on in this world, that I think that's pretty neat that a company's,
absolutely,
they're willing to step out there and do that without any kind of a knowing of who it is or anything else. So I thought that was pretty neat. So shout out to the Made for Killing guys, the MFK Game Calls. I'll probably be buying a lot more of their calls now just to support that company. So
to talk about that question you asked Josh about seeing coyotes. No, we didn't see many coyotes. But something that I thought was fascinating when I went to Yellowstone a couple of years ago on vacation is when we were going through that tour through the park, the guy kept saying, like, you guys might see a coyote up here in this field. You guys, I mean, they were like, oh, people on the bus, oh my, we might see a coyote. Get your camera ready. I'm like, shit, we see a coyote around every corner in Georgia.
Yeah.
Like it was a big deal out west. So I don't know if there's not as many out there, and maybe you can attest this, Grant. I don't know if there's as many out there as there is here, or if there's just so much land that you don't see them or hear them as much.
I think it might be the latter. I mean, I saw some out there, but I don't think it's quite the population we have here.
Yeah, I don't think so either, because
I don't know about Oregon, but those western states are eat slap up with coyotes.
I think more the midwestern states are with the plains and stuff like that, because there's probably more creatures to catch. I don't, what's bad, really, what's really bad out there. And even the guy that we met from NWTF, I need to get him on because he's pretty knowledgeable about some stuff. But ravens are really bad, especially on turkey eggs. And we, it was actually funny with second day we was in Oregon, me and Blaine split up, and Blaine was down the road there, and this raven kept getting up in this nest, and he was watching it up in the top of the tree. And he said it flew out and had an egg in its mouth. So I don't know what kind of type of bird it might have been. It could have been an eagle or something like that. I don't know. But we did see a lot of eagles out there, too.
Yeah, so they're like seagulls out there.
They are, aren't they? They're everywhere.
Same thing in Alaska, too. It was like, first day there, I was like, oh, bald eagle. And then by the end, I'm like, God, I hate these things.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere.
Yeah, we watched a bunch of eagles the last day there dive on some baby ducks.
Jeez, that'd be pretty cool to see.
Yeah. They kept, I mean, they were hunting big time, but never could get them. I guess them ducks kept going underneath the water.
Jeez.
But yeah.
Hawaii is the only U.S. state with no coyotes.
Really?
Yep.
Well, you can do the 49 slam on coyotes, son.
500,000 coyotes are harvested annually throughout the United States. Looks like Oregon is very, very, very light population of them. Texas, of course, has the largest population. Alabama is a very populated state. So Alabama is common. Yeah, that's pretty wild.
I mean, honestly, they probably have more to eat here, honestly, between house cats, chickens, you know, squirrels, and then just
Oregon has a population of 83,675 coyotes estimated, whereas a state like Georgia has 90,000.
So. Hey, there you go. Chase 49 for the coyotes. Come on, start a new trend.
So there's a guy, and he was on a podcast. It was Clay Reed I was telling you about. He went 365 days killing a coyote. Every Jeez. Single he killed a coyote a day for 365 days.
Well, that'd be hard.
He said mm-hmm. the last night was he was on it. It was like down to 10 o'clock on the last night, and he shot it. And his son was with him, and he said that he was. And I ain't gonna say the words he said, but he said that his son was with him, and he dropped it, and he was like, phew. He's like, Dad, wow, way to end it. Shot him right in the head. He said, I didn't have the heart to tell him I was aiming for his shoulder. But yeah, he would be an awesome podcast, but we'd have to put that on our Patreon or something, because it would be a vulgar podcast. So, well, I got a question for you, Grant. This is, I guess it's just yes, more sir. Of a common thing that I like to ask people when they come on. How'd you hear about us, or what turns you on to listen to us?
I think I was just scrolling through Instagram, and on the suggested feed, y'all popped up, and I was like, look at here, Cherokee County, what the heck? Or y'all just started like, Waleska. Like, who are these boys? And just started listening.
What can we do better at, or what would you like to hear us do better? I mean, or what do you enjoy most about this show?
Like this, just people sitting around having a conversation, just hanging out, swapping stories, you know.
These are some of our best episodes. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We never lie. Might stretch the truth. I've never let the truth stand in the way of a good story, though.
No, I mean, I don't know. Like, some of this podcast stand out, like I was saying earlier. You know, Catman, all the Dave Bowen stuff is good. And, you know, Chipper Jones was fun. Yeah. That was fun to listen to. And then, you know, but like, you know, telling stories like Dave and his big buck. Yeah. Listen, that whole breakdown was awesome. So, I mean, I love it. Like, I think some podcasts I listen to, they get bigger and then they start to get a lot more produced. Well, I know that's maybe not the right word, but
produced. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just
predictable.
Yeah, exactly. And so I kind of like just the free flow. And then y'all do have some good guests, good information and good tips, especially for our area too, which is nice. You know, a lot of podcasts are, you know, pointing towards the Midwestern hunter, or, you know, the West hunter or whatever.
We talk more, you know, a lot about the Midwest, cause it is where we, you know, our passion, right. But just like with turkey season, I mean, it's, I'm sure there's people that'll take what you've experienced out there and put it into, you know, play and be able to be successful. And same thing with deer hunting here, just like you talking about putting salt out. When in your growing up was you ever thinking about deer season in May?
I was never thinking about it when I was a kid.
I didn't either.
But dad always like, he was always again. He was always like, let's put salt out. We got to put salt out. I mean, usually from the day deer season is over, dad's ready to put salt out, you know. So he's always kind of put that in me. But the older I get, you know, you start realizing that they need that. They really do need some salt.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, now they're putting this protein out. I really do think I think it helps the mamas just as much as it does the bucks with them having the little ones coming along. So, but I do think they got a lot of foliage right now that they don't have to go out and search for
anything.
Yeah. They don't have to do all that stuff.
Everything from greenbrier to, I mean, everything.
I mean, that food, that cornfield down there since last Tuesday, it's grown 6 or 8 inches I've been over here.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they're starting to eat the tops off of stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, this weekend, some guys in our club went and planted, like, I think they planted an acre of soybeans. And me and Terry were like, probably not going to make it.
No.
The deer probably eat the tops off before it even comes up. Just 1 acre, you know.
You got to do something to give them, too. I mean, you think about early season. I mean, they have so much stuff they can eat, from the soft mast to, you know, early acorns to drop. And, I mean, browsing, greenbrier. I mean, it's just, they got everything they could ever want.
That's right.
You know, this time of year in early season.
We really need to get somebody on here to talk about. I was thinking about this yesterday, listening to a another podcast. We really need to start getting some guys on here to talk about some food plot stuff and what to spray and all that stuff. What would be good? Because I'd really like to get real technical on how to like start your food plot. Because I was listening yesterday, they were talking about spraying all that glyphosate. Am I saying that right?
Glyphosate.
Yeah, spraying that stuff like after you plant, and it's fine for the plant before it comes up. All kind of stuff.
You've got certain strands of plant that are that they even have genetically enhanced them to be Roundup proof or whatever. I mean, you can spray some of this stuff now and it Roundup won't even kill it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's Roundup proof corn or whatever. And then you've got other, but I'll tell you something that's always fascinated me and something I've thought about doing is fencing. And I see Dave Wozniak and Aaliyah and them, they'll fence 5 acres of beans. And they'll fence it with, you know, they'll fence one row and then they'll do an outer row again. And they'll put it in so that they can drop that fence and get deer in the area. And then when they're ready to hunt that area, they'll drop the fence altogether and let deer in, and deer just pour into it. They pour in there. As densely populated as, or as sparsely populated as our deer population is, I don't know that you'd be able to do that successfully here, but it's an awful interesting concept. If you'd been able to drop a, you know, a field of beans that are knee high, you know, the day before season. Oh my God. Imagine that if you had the right wind. I mean, something to think about.
Absolutely.
Food plots are good too. I mean, I even here sometimes, you know, food plots are good for the deer and feed, but sometimes I feel like the bigger ones aren't always out there during daylight. But if you had a lot of success, you know, just hunting off a food plot.
Yeah.
You know, even if you don't want to hunt on the food plot, it's still good for the deer. They'll get out there at night and you can hunt the backside of the food plot, little thicket.
And even if you're not making a food plot, you can at least go make some bedding.
Exactly.
If you don't have bedding,
just improve the habitat.
Yeah.
Whatever way you can.
Because you see a lot of guys now doing those outer bands of thick stuff, putting the food plot in the middle.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And they have to go far at all to feed.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you're wanting to do mock scrapes, as the old Dan says, when do you start them? Today.
Today.
Yep. Yeah. That's right. So that's somebody we need to get back on.
Boy, he can bend. He can tan them ears.
He can tan them ears for sure.
He can bend them back.
Well, Dan's a good one. He's and if you're wanting a scent that works, it's not any affiliation of ours other than the fact that we've used it. Go ahead and get you some of that Rookum.
You taking a blood sample over?
Yeah, I'm bleeding. I scratched the scab off.
Grant, did you have fun?
Oh yeah, I'm very happy y'all invited me.
Well, we're glad you come.
First podcast ever done. So,
are you going to come back? We didn't run
anytime.
You off,
anytime y'all want.
Well,
I come tell some more lies.
You got anything else to leave for us?
No, sir. Just happy hunting out there. Be safe. Enjoy it.
What's your? Give us one of your favorite memories in the outdoors. It can be fishing, hunting, or anything that you've done. Give us one of your top memories that you've had before we cast off. I mean,
your
sunset.
Your first deer is always a great memory. My first deer was my first buck, and it was my first bow kill. I was hunting some core engineer's property with my brother. We got access through somebody's yard to access the core land, and we sat just on a little tree along this little deer trail, little basket rack, little four pointer comes trot up like 7:45, and freaking I'm just shaking like crazy. And he comes like 10 yards behind us and he gets behind our wind and just snorts and runs off down the hill. And I just stood up, drew my bow back. I remember I literally closed my eyes and just hit the release, and I hit that deer right in his butt. And freaking I thought I was done for, and walked 100 yards and think I just hit the femoral artery or whatever.
Yeah.
He died right there. It was with my brother, and that was, I don't know, it was a fun trip, but I don't remember much of it because my eyes were closed. But it was a good time. But I mean that, and then you know, I had a lot of good memories fishing, you know, out west or fishing here with my dad and my buddies. I mean, we go down a lot of times. We used to go down every summer. My buddy's got he actually lives here in Waleska, but he's got a place down near Steinahatchee, Florida.
Yep,
about 6 hours from here, and it's like last best place in Florida, I think. I mean, there's no commercialization. It's just you just go down there and you just fish.
And it's just like panacea.
Yeah,
it's like the middle of nowhere.
Exactly, it's just full of
awesome
redneck cattle farms, and I mean, it's beautiful. And there's no beach. It's just all seagrass. So none of your spring breakers go down there, and you just go down there and just catch a mess of redfish and trout, and go catch some scallops, and just throw it all in the fryer, and
nice.
Have a good old time. But no, yeah, thank y'all a ton for having me on.
Absolutely, man. We'll do it again.
Come back and be with us again when you can.
Anytime.
Do you got anything else, Nicholas?
Nope. Go to Cherokee Feed and Seed and get you some supplies. It's time to go. Get you some batteries.
Food plot seeds. Anything you need. They've got some awesome stuff up there.
They do. When is this episode dropping next week? The bow shoot will be out. Get your stuff.
I hope.
Can't wait to lose 2 dozen arrows.
I hope it's out.
What, the bow shoot?
The ready to sign up.
Oh, we're waiting on somebody?
We're always waiting on somebody. Waiting on the white devil.
Bring my recurve.
There you go.
Chad will be here with his recurve. Yeah, got some guys that may be coming down from Indiana. I'm actually trying to talk them into coming down to shoot.
Yeah. Maybe give some tips.
Whiskey River, Dave, good old Dave Snyder, my buddy up in Indiana, friend of mine I've known for a lot of years. He's got a traditional archery group on Facebook called, I think it's Whiskey City. Huh. Is that it, Tyler? That one I invited you to the other day, Whiskey. Anyway, they're a great group of guys. Dad's still got a tag on the front of his Whiskey City Traditional Archery. Is the name of it. And David's been a great guy, great friend of mine for a lot of years. So
I'll have to check that out. Yeah. I mean, I just got into it a couple years ago. I guess I'm a glutton for punishment. I mean, I figured I wasn't killing anything with a compound, so I might as well just not kill anything at all.
You can bring whatever you want. Just bring that checkbook so we can take all your money.
Should you take checks? I'll pay for the whole thing, man.
Yeah, we'll take a check. Some of them might bounce higher than a basketball, but
I'd say.
Let's see. let me see if I can find Grant on here. I'm probably not friends with you on Facebook, am I?
Might be.
Mm-mm, I can't find you.
That's all right.
That's fine. He's blocking us all after this episode drops anyway. No. As Nick said, you can go over to the website. Hopefully, it'll be up and running. No, it won't be because it'll be after the first. So be on the lookout for sign-ups coming up on the website for the bow shoot. You'll be able to sign up on there to get in for the early entry opportunity at the Vortex prize pack again. Anyone that's interested in doing anything with the bow shoot, make sure you reach out to Nick, Cody, Alex, Josh, anybody that's involved with the podcast can get you in touch with us. We'll make sure to get you in wherever we can. If you're interested in doing anything down the road with us, reach out and make sure you go over and leave a review on Apple or Spotify or wherever you listen to the show. Check out the newest YouTube video, as Nicholas said, on how to fly with a firearm. There'll be more stuff coming there, and if you're really excited for deer season like we are, it won't be long before them videos will be dropping out on YouTube, if I can get my producer to finish them up. So for everyone here at Talk About It Outdoors, thank you for being with us tonight. Thanks for Grant coming and setting in with us, and if you need anything, reach out to us. We hope everyone has a wonderful week, and remember, smile as you go, but don't forget, mouth the memories.
Building the foundation of your life starts at the base, and the stronger it is, the better. Talk About It Outdoors is proud of our strong partnership with United Concrete and Paving and the foundation of support they provide. Whether your new home being built needs concrete work, or that driveway you're tired of beating all the bearings from your pickup needs a paving, Michael and his team can provide any residential or commercial project support you might need from the ground up. If you're tired of tripping over that unsettled patio slab, or a future shop build needs a smooth start, United Concrete and Paving can get you going when you need it most. Give them a call at 404-831-3036 and make sure you tell them them TAI boys are where you heard it first. A few years back, when an overbearing and overgrown backyard became an eyesore, I looked for a solution to resolve. LRS Land Services created a stunning and complete transformation turnkey at an affordable price with their mulching services. Not limited to mulching, LRS can provide turnkey grading and clearing, maintenance, right-of-way clearing, and even development for any and all forestry needs. With an innovative outlook on what is best for your land and a completely different approach than others, LRS can transform your overgrown eyesore into a beautiful landscape of your dreams. Give them a call at 404-889-1105 or check their work out on Facebook at LRS Land Services. Logan and his team are ready to make your land brand new again. Are you in need of a decluttering barn or garage slap full of stuff you just don't need? Or is your construction site needing a dumpster? Give our buddy Tony at Georgia Junk and Dumpster Rental a call. With services ranging from junk removal to roll-offs, Georgia Junk is here to help with any and all removal needs. If it's time to get that parking spot back or the boat needs a place inside, Tony and his team can surely assist. Servicing Cherokee, Cobb, Bartow, and surrounding counties, give them a call at 404-406-3501 or check them out on Facebook at Georgia Junk. Clean up the yard in short order with Georgia Junk.